Presentation this afternoon. Being a nematologist, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the problems that we have with nematodes, their significance and what kind of damage that they cause, and also some of the reasons why we are able to use site-specific management to deal with a problem like nematodes. As you know, probably most of you in the room who deal with nematodes, we have really three major nematode species that are a problem across the cotton growing areas of the United States. Southern root knot probably is the most widespread of these nematodes, found basically across the whole country. Reniform is sort of a newcomer to many parts of our country, but in some areas, particularly in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, these are real major problems for us. The Columbia lance is a little bit more localized. It doesn't seem to be quite as prevalent across the growing area, but is a real problem in some parts of the country. And again, you can see here from the slide here, looking at the range of where nematodes are a problem, root knot again from coast to coast essentially. The reniform nematode being pretty much in the mid-south and southeast. It seems to be the predominant problem again in the mid-south for us. With Columbia lance being found basically from Louisiana on up through North Carolina. In Louisiana, it's a very minor nematode, only occurs in just probably 50 or 60 fields that I found it in. And it really seems to be more of a problem in Georgia, particularly in particular South Carolina, where this is a major problem for them. As far as damage goes, most of you are familiar with what to expect with nematodes. Again, the southern root knot is one which has been known for a long time. It can be very destructive where it's found. You can see it causing problems such as you see here in the slide. You can see here in this area, the field here, a lot of plants have died prematurely. A lot of stunning, big areas of the field where the nematodes have really caused injury. Here in this part of the field, you can see in the lighter part of the field here, where you see a lot of stunning. In the back of the same slide here, you can see that the plants kind of come back up in size. Well, this is not necessarily related to the fact that there's not nematodes there. This is a soil texture thing. The soil changed a little bit there. There's plenty of root knot nematode back there, but again, we're not seeing any problems. Again, this is one of the reasons why we're able to use some soil texture components to help us with making identification of some of these problem areas in the field. We also have the other two slides here you can see where you see severe stunning later on in the season, and then you can also see premature cutting out of plants in a field. The reniform is pretty similar in the way it affects plants. Again, you can see stunning, severe stunning, and you can see here to the left up here severe stunning and again, where the skips in the field where essentially the plants simply died. This is the normal thing that I see with reniform nematode, where you simply have an unevenness in plant growth across the field. And it may be like you see here, fairly widespread throughout the entire field. It makes it very difficult to really recognize simply because of that. And again, you can also see the bottom two slides here. Again, the same thing later in the season, severe stunning. Unevenness of plant height, and the far right side, the bottom, you can see what stunted plants can really look like where you've got really high levels of reniform nematode. These are fruiting plants that are not even knee high, so you can see they were really severely impacted by reniform nematode. Now, fortunately, we can recognize symptoms of root knot nematode. It produces galls or knots on the root system. Makes it easy to recognize. The earlier on when the plants are small and populations are very high of the root knot nematode, that's where they can tend to cause the greatest amount of injury early on in the season. But later in the mid-season or later on in the season as root knot populations begin to develop, you can see galling such as you see here or the last slide over here where you get a large amount of galls on the plants that affects the plants later in the production season, makes them a little bit weaker and more prone to drought problems and also early cutout and so forth, depending on how bad the problems are. Now, with reniform, again, we don't see any anything visual on the root system, which makes reniform very difficult for us to recognize. I can't see these with my naked eye. And you can see here, this slide here, this is what, when you dig up plants and look at them in the field that has reniform nematode, you don't see anything. It makes it very difficult to recognize. But if you do a little staining like I did here and a little bit of magnification, you can see these little yellow, these little reddish dots here all along the root system. That's these egg masses of the reniform nematode. You can see them a little bit more close up in some of these images here. And this is again what they look like over here where you've teased off of some of these egg masses. You can see the females that have been stained red that are beneath these egg masses. So reniform is much more difficult to recognize and identify out in the field, which makes it much more problematic. And then we get in situations like this where you have both nematodes together in the same field. And again, up at the top, you can see these two spots in the field here that were damaged by the combination of both nematodes. But down in the lower part here, again, you can remember, you can see root knot galling, but you can't see the combination of the root knot and the reniform. But you can look over here at the little bit of magnification, a little bit of staining. You can see these galls that are associated with the root knot, but you can see these little smaller egg masses here that are associated with the reniform nematode. So you can get both these nematodes together. And believe you me, when you get the combination, they can really cause a lot of damage in a field. Now, one of the good things about nematodes is that they are associated with soil and soil texture. And particularly with nematodes such as the root knot nematode, the Columbia lance, these are nematodes that like sandier soils. That's where you're going to find them. In this field that I'm illustrating here, this is a field where the soil types ranges from a light sand to a heavy clay within the same field. This is a typical symptom for us in Louisiana where we have this kind of diversity within a field. And you can see that based on the EC information here going from the lighter color being the sandy part of the field to the heavier part of the field being the darker color. And look where the root knot nematode populations are occurring. The high levels of root knot nematode are found over here in the lighter part of the field. And over here where the field's a little bit heavier, we simply don't see any of the root knot nematode. That's a typical symptom that we see here with the way the nematodes are dispersed in the state. Now what happens though when you get into a field that doesn't have quite that much variability? In this particular field here, it ranges from a kind of a light sandy soil to a medium silt loam soil. But root knot nematode here is throughout the entire field. The same populations that you saw earlier are here in this field. The same dots here represent where the nematodes are found and where the populations are occurring at the different ranges. So we see throughout the entire field here, we've got nematodes and nematodes distributed. So it's a little bit more difficult to just go by nematode population alone out here. But one of the things that we've found out over time, though, is that there is some association with nematodes and soil texture. The heavier areas of the field are not as likely to be as impacted by the nematodes as the lighter parts of that field. And again, you get situations like this particular field where you got both nematodes found in the same field. The yellow dots are the root knot nematode in the field, and the kind of pinkish dots or where reniform is found in the field. And you can see we have quite a range of texture in this field, from a light silty loam soil to a heavy clay. But you also see that the root knot's found only in the lighter part of the field, but the reniform is found throughout the field. So again, we got the populations tend to occur in different parts of the field out here. Now, as far as how this all translates into site-specific work, these are some of the things that we have been looking at in Louisiana during the last several years on trying to come up with some site-specific ways of dealing with nematodes. And these are just come as three examples that I'm going to use here. We're looking at soil texture, and this is soil texture based on EC information. That seems to be the predominant way that we're looking at soil texture. It's a device that you'll hear a lot more about today. And it's really one that gives us a nice picture of something, texture within a field, something we really never had before. The second one here is we're looking at this EC information again, but now combining this with nematode populations. And then basically the third category here that I'm going to talk a little bit about is, again, is EC information and also a cropping history. What parts of the field are yielding well or not yielding well, and looking at combining that information with the EC information to come up with making management zones. The first, again, of these categories is based on just simply soil texture based on the EC. Now, we're making the assumption in a lot of these fields that there is a nematode problem here. So we know there's a nematode problem present in these fields. And so what we're doing here in a case like this is looking at the soil zones using EC information and trying to determine where in the fields the lightest soils are, where you've seen the problems occurring in the past. And you can see here with this field, we're looking at it's a fairly light textured field altogether for us. This field has, again, both root knot and reniform nematode. And again, this is kind of how we would break this field down. If we wanted to just treat the lighter zone of that field, this is how we would we would divide this field up into a treated areas and untreated areas. So with the green being the area of the field that we would choose to treat and the red being the area of the field we would not need to treat. And our second way of looking at this is looking at soil zones again, now combining that with some information about nematode populations. In this particular case here, you can see these are several fields that we're looking at here. We've got the ranges of EC ranging from DPC from 30 to 184. Now, I don't want to get too hung up on numbers here with EC information because, as you'll see, the numbers that I give representing Louisiana soils are going to be completely different from what Will talks about with South Carolina soils. So don't get too hung up on these numbers. Just think of them in terms of how you can use a lighter part of the fields versus the heavier parts of the field. That's more important than anything else. But you can see here where the light parts of the field are, where the heavier parts of the field are. We went in here and did zone sampling, which for nematodes, which is nothing more than breaking up into these different zones that are out there, going in and pulling nematode samples, finding out where the nematodes are. In this particular case, we're dealing with only reniform nematode. So you can see here with the yellow, orange, and red being where the high levels of reniform nematode are, the blue being where very low levels of nematodes are. Combining that with EC information and coming up again with the green where we would need to treat in the field and the red where we don't need to treat in the field. And the last illustration that I'll talk about is here again using this EC information, again now looking at cropping history. How did the crop before that do in that field? So again, what we're doing is we're breaking down the field into EC information. And again, in this particular case, I've got the reds and the oranges being the lightest part of the field, and the greens and the light greens being the heavier parts of the field. And again, this is where we look at then the yield from previous crops in this field. You can either use 1, 2, or multiple years. It doesn't really matter on how you do that. This was the previous year here, and I did just a percent of normalized yield. Nothing particularly unusual about that. But you can see where the low yielding areas of the field here are. These are the red and oranges. That was the low yielding areas of the field, which was a lot lower than the rest of the field. The greens and the yellows, again, being were high yielding area of that field. And then it's nothing more than then combining these two to come up with something like this, where again, we know where we got the most potential for damage in that field would be where you would need to fumigate. That would be the green parts of the field. And the red parts of the field are where the EC is higher, the yield potential was higher from previous, so you know you probably don't need, it's probably not as critical to treat these parts of the field. So these are just, again, some of the ways that we're looking at using EC information, nematode populations, cropping history to help us make some sort of management zones for dealing with nematodes and using site-specific technology. Now again here, I'm going to just mention here that nematodes I think are a very good pest to use some of this site-specific technology. They're limited to soils and soil texture. That's a big association that we have with this pest. So that works out to our advantage. The other thing is nematode populations are something that can be easily determined in a field. You can either do a zone sampling or grid sampling or however you want to do that and get some idea what kind of populations are present in your field. And you'll see in later presentations today where this type of information is incorporated into a lot of ways in which we will develop management zones across the belt. There's no single way of how to do management zones for nematodes. That's what I want to leave y'all with here. And you'll see, again, from the presentations today, there are lots of different ways that we're looking at as how to create nematode management zones. And so don't get hung up on any single one way. So there's really no single way that's the best. So you can use any different ways. The other thing I'd like to leave you with is with about management zones is these are not locked in stone. As you go through and use crop rotation, you're going to impact the populations of nematodes, and you're going to have some changes that will take place over time. And also, the other thing that we'll see is particularly where we have multiple nematodes in a field. If you've got reniform and root knot together, if you plant a crop such as corn, you are going to have a severe impact on reniform, but not so much on corn. So that will definitely then, how many years you're in one crop versus another, is going to affect that population that's going on out in the field.